chapter 1. And I want to use this passage and I'll use this title. I think it was 2 weeks ago that I used this. I want to go back to it. Acts chapter 1, if you have it, if you can see it, if you don't mind to stand, read with us. Y'all are getting a lot of exercise this morning, aren't you? Up and down, up and down. Maybe this will keep us all awake here today. We should be willing to stand in honor of God's word anytime, shouldn't we? Amen. You know, when somebody begins that Pledge of Allegiance or they start playing one of those patriotic songs, I want to stand up and start looking around and see if I can see a flag. God's word should take the preeminence. All right, if you have it, say praise the Lord. Let's read it together. Acts chapter 1. We'll read verses 1 through verse number 5. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he shewed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he saith, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Praise God. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated. I thought about this passage, realizing who it is addressed to, the great trusted physician, and also the writer of the book of Acts is the same as the Gospel of Luke. It is addressed to the same person, and I understand there's a lot of discussion. Commentators disagree oft times on who this person was. I tend to think it was probably a great financier that was backing Luke and financing him and his journey to go back and find these people that, because Luke did not see Jesus. He did not hear his teachings directly, but he went in and found those people that did and those that had and done, you know, no doubt hours and hours and hours of personal one-on-one interviews, asking them what you seen, what you heard. Amen. You know, another good thing about that, because it collaborates with the ones that, like Matthew and like John, that was with Jesus and did see him. And then years later, those others that were in some of those same meetings that the other apostles were able to affirm and reaffirm to Luke on his fact-finding mission that Jesus Christ was indeed who he said he was. Hallelujah. Amen. And we'll should be forever grateful if I am right in my thinking, and Theophilus did back this and finance this work that Luke done, we should be ever grateful to him as well. Amen. Aren't you glad we have the Gospel of St. Luke? And aren't you glad that we have the book of the Acts of the Apostles? Hallelujah. And so I referred to this as a rear view, and like a rear view mirror in a car. And so I used the title, if Brother Junior wants to put it up, it's fine, Advancing While Glancing. And I want to reaffirm my statements here. I know that it's not right, and it's not healthy, and it's not spiritual, even though people try to make it spiritual. It's not spiritual to try to live your life in the past. And it's not wise to say that the former days were better than these. I know people do it. I know there's a cliche. We often use it. I even hear myself using it sometimes. Help me, Jesus. I don't want to get old in my thinking, but we say it sometimes. The good old days. You know, the good old days. All those things. And we leave the impression to the next generation that only good things can happen in the good old days. And so because of where they live, they'll never see anything good because they didn't live in the quote, good old days. Amen. But I want to tell you something. We are living in the dispensation of grace. And Jesus Christ is the same. Amen. You can repeat it with me. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. What He was in 2013. What He was in 1913. And what He was in 1813. And as far on back as you want to go, Jesus Christ is the same today as He was then. Hallelujah. Praise God. So it's not good to live in the past. And it's not good to live only in the future and only wonder what's around the corner. And only, I think we should be optimistic, and I think we should be hopeful, and I think we should be forward looking. Amen. But that is the reason you have a windshield in your car. Amen. You'd have a hard time driving one if all you had was a rear view mirror and the windshield was covered over. You'd have a hard time. Amen. But it's also, you would be dangerous to yourself and your family and to everybody else on the road if every once in a while you didn't glance in your rear view mirror. Amen. That's all I'm trying to get you to do right here in this session is just take a glance. Amen. For one to be in control, he should be aware of his immediate surroundings. You can't make good decisions on the future if you don't have a good understanding of what's going on right now. Hallelujah. Well, I hope I'm helping somebody while I'm preaching to you today. Amen. I know what the devil wants to do. He wants to convince all of us that the days of revival's over. He wants to convince all of us there's no need to pray and there's no need to fast because you'll never have a breakthrough. Amen. Like we had way back when we started the church in 1973. Amen. That is a lie from the pits of hell. That is nothing to discourage you. That's all it is to try to keep you from praying and fasting and believing and anticipating and trusting that God is going to do something. I'm feeling the Lord in here preaching already. God wants to give us a greater revival right here in January of 2014. Amen. Than the history of this church has ever known. Amen. He wants to do it. And I believe if we'll have that forward looking, amen, of what God wants to do and what He is going to do, we will see Him do some great, great things. Amen. So it seems like to me, the way I've got this in my mind, amen, Luke has given us the gospel of St. Luke. That was in his past. That was the things that Christ had done on this earth. That was some things that, that God had already done. That was the basic teachings. If you read those first verses that I had you read, it was all that Christ had began to do. Amen. How many knows that Christ hasn't stopped doing those things? Amen. Matter of fact, the Word of God, that really all that we have, that's what it is. It is a beginning. Amen. And if we'll believe what God has done in the past, and that's what Luke was doing. Amen. He's fixing now. He takes us, seems like at a spot right here where he looks back and he says, Theophilus, the former treaties, I've already told you about what God began to do. And he's starting out right here with a snapshot, a 40-day period after the crucifixion of Jesus, after his passion, after his suffering, after his followers saw him hanging on that cross. Amen. He says to him, there's been a 40-day period. Amen. We're true believers, not folks making up things. They have really seen the resurrected Christ. Hallelujah. You can believe this, Theophilus. Amen. And everybody else, I'm preaching to you this morning. This is not a religion for the past. This is not a religion for grandparents. This is something that God is actively doing in our lives and in our ministry right now. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, yes. And he's fixing to start telling him what God done through the Holy Ghost, through the working of the apostles. Amen. And all of those miraculous things and great revivals they had that we read about in the book of Acts. All of that happened after Jesus was resurrected and returned back to his Father. Hallelujah. Oh, I'd like to get you a hold of this today. Amen. I want you to know there is no end
happened to the book of Acts, the mighty miracles of God after that New Testament church was birthed on the day of Pentecost. I believe the miracles of God and the working of the Holy Ghost is still active in the church today. Can you say amen? If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't have revival. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't receive an offering for a missionary. If I didn't believe it, I'd quit and do something else. But I believe that God wants to do greater things. Amen. So if we will glance in the rear view, I'm not talking about 40 years. I'm not talking about when the church started. I'm not talking about 50 years ago. When I say advancing while glancing, I mean just that. It will encourage your faith of what God will do for you this week in revival if you'll take a quick look at what God just got through doing. Are y'all feeling this like I am up here? I'm telling you, it's starting to feel pretty good up here this morning. Amen. Because I am anticipating a move of the Holy Ghost. I'm not satisfied for the past, amen, but I want God to know that I am grateful for everything that He has done. And I want to jar your attention and jar your memory to reality that God has done some mighty miracles in recent days, amen, in this ministry. Can you say amen? Woo, hallelujah. He showed Himself alive after His passion. Amen. Take a little look back. This is what happened back here, Theophilus. This is what's happened in this 40-day period. And we are heading back. Amen. Are y'all hearing me preach? Amen. I'm not sure some of you are here. Come on, let's worship God while I try to preach to you this morning. Amen. We're grateful for what God's done in the past. I've told you what He's done in the past. I've told you what He's done in these 40 days. About 12 times He appeared to His loyal followers after His passion. Amen. But He is pointing them toward Pentecost. He's telling them, go back to Jerusalem and stay there until you be endued with power from on high. Hallelujah. You can take it up whenever you're ready, brother. Amen. Oh, come on here. God wants to help us. I believe He wants to do greater things. Amen. I know we've suffered some losses. I know we had Brother Marty's funeral. I know we had Brother Ralph Horton's funeral. Amen. I know we've had all of those things. We laid hands on Brother Marty. We've seen God do some great things for him. He acknowledged that God did. I don't understand, God. I prayed in faith. I stood in faith. I stood on the word. He did as well. Not even allowing his family to make funeral plans for him because he felt like God was going to raise him up at the last. But I want to tell you something, church. Those last few hours of his life, he was seeing big, beautiful mansions. He was seeing angels. He was hearing them speak to him. Amen. It's not all bad when you're going to heaven. Can somebody say amen? Oh, I want you to get a hold of this. God is alive and well. God is active in His church. The New Testament church is still doing the work of Christ in these last days. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just a quick glance. We're not going back in history. Amen. I just want to show you some things that God has done, amen, in the short past. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me give you a scripture real quick here. If you got a Bible there, read it for me real quickly. St. Mark chapter 6. St. Mark chapter 6. There's other things I could say, but I need to move on here. St. Mark chapter 6, verse number. Start reading at verse number 49. Read it real quickly. Amen. St. Mark chapter number 6 and verse 49. Amen. Lift your hands right now, church. Give Him some praise for a moment. Amen. Thank You for what He's doing. Amen. Why don't we just go ahead and thank You for what He's going to do? Why don't we just start acting like we already have it before we have it? Amen. Why don't we start acting like and thanking Him that we've already received it before we have received it? Amen. We're taking a short glimpse. Amen. We're not going to talk about the good old days. We're not going to leave the feeling with the next generation that God has gone senile and God's about to go in the nursing home and God's going to have to start having our help. I'm telling you, God is ready to pour revival out on Bethany again. Amen. If we'll acknowledge what He's done and give Him glory and praise for what He's done in the past. Amen. And look forward down the road to what he's going to do.
Yes.
Amen. Just a quick glimpse. Read verse 49. Read it fast.
When they saw him walking upon the sea.
Okay.
They supposed it.
I'm just having to read this so you'll get the setting. They supposed it to be a spirit.
Yes, and cried out. For they saw all
like
saw
a lot
him.
Of us would.
They all saw him.
Troubled. Every one of them wasn't. Peter wasn't the only one that saw him.
All right.
They all saw him. Read on.
And troubled. And immediately he talked with them.
And immediately he spoke to them. He talked to them.
Be of good cheer.
Be of good cheer.
For it is I.
Nothing to be afraid of.
Be not afraid.
I'd like to tell somebody right now. I think I have a feeling I'm preaching to somebody. You may feel like you're in the storm of your life.
Yes.
You may feel like your little boat's being shaken. You may feel the rivets popping. You may see the sails reeking. But I want to tell you from behind this pulpit, amen, the words of Jesus, you already know what he's done in the past. You already know he showed himself strong. And I want to tell you, be of good cheer. It's the same God. God, that raised up your folks, amen, that is still alive and active in his church.
Yes, yes.
It's, be not afraid.
That's right.
Be of good cheer. Don't be afraid. Amen. Can I preach and pastor just a little bit right here?
Come on.
Amen. Perfect love casteth out fear. Fear has torment. Amen. And God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Amen. When your mind gets out of your control and the enemy starts working in your mind, in that soulish part of you, with fear, he will get you into panic. Amen. I've told you a lot of times, you know what folks do when they panic? You hear somebody sometimes, they run through the plate glass window down at the store. Amen. They hit the gas when they were supposed to hit the brake. When people panic sometimes, when they know they've run a red light and they should have given the gas and went on, but they panicked and stopped right in the middle of the intersection and somebody got them.
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. Amen. That's anxiety that caused you to panic. Amen. That caused you to lay in bed, in your bed at night, Brother Jeff, and wonder what I'm going to do about this and what I'm going to do about that and how this is going to work out. Amen. The first thing you know, amen, your mountains are way up here and your God is way down here. And as far as you're concerned, he's got one foot in the grave. And if he did, was able to do anything he want for you. God hasn't given you that. That's where the disciples were. Amen. And I'm fixing to tell you, we're going to read why they were in this shape. Read on.
And he went up unto the ship.
We're going to read down through verse 50, verse 52, I believe.
And he went to the ship, and when they were sore amazed.
When they were sore amazed.
In themselves beyond measure and wondered.
He went into the ship.
Yes.
In their storm.
And the wind.
In their sea.
And the wind
and their
ceased.
Rickety little boat. Full of fear and doubt.
That's right.
Jesus went in.
Into the ship. He just went in the ship.
Woo! Somebody ought to shout hallelujah.
He just got in.
Man,
the
I want to tell you something right now. Your God that loves you. Your Jesus that loves you. Wherever you are in your storm right here today, he is wanting to get into your boat. He is wanting to board your ship. He is one. Hey man, a matter of fact, he'd like to get right in there where the wheel is. Hey man, and start guiding that ship. Woo! Is it all right if I stop and shout a little bit? I'm feeling so much of the anointing up here this morning. I'm about to have a spell. God wants to get in your storm. God wants to get in your ship. God wants to help you where you are. Oh, hallelujah. But the reason we don't, read on.
For they considered not the miracle.
Oh, right here's the reason why.
They considered not.
This is why they had fear.
The miracle.
This is why they were in trouble. This is why they thought it was over. Their ministry's over. Their boat's going to sink. Everything's, I mean, it's all bad. It's all bad, man. Oh, my goodness. Some people, you know, and not in a bad way, but there's some people sometimes I avoid them. Sometimes I avoid their phone calls. Sometimes because I know it's going to be all bad. It's going to at the end. It's over. There's no way out. There's no, it's going to be dark. It's going to be bleak. It's going to be hopeless. Oh, hallelujah.
Yeah.
Then, no doubt that's where they were. They were, I mean, even Jesus, they saw him and they were afraid.
Yeah.
because
they considered not.
For they, here's the rearview mirror right here. They considered not. Amen.
The miracle.
Church, say that with me. They considered not
the miracle
of what?
Of the loaves.
Of the loaves.
For their heart.
Was hardened.
They considered not.
Man. Help me preach right now for a little while. They considered. Well, brother, you don't remember every meal you had 40 years ago. You don't remember every good service you was in 40 years ago. Now, come on, let's have a little compassion on those disciples. I don't remember every good meal I ever ate. I don't remember every good service I was in. I don't remember everybody that was in the service the night I got the Holy Ghost. I don't remember all that. But my friend, I'm not talking about 40 years ago. They considered not the miracle of the loaves, and it was less than 24 hours. I'm talking about 2013, and some folks already forgot what God done for them a week ago. I know it's so because I've seen people shout, rejoice, dance. I've seen them have so much of the victory, I thought they'd never look back in a week or two. You're not considering the miracle of the loaves. Hey man, those guys that were shaking and trembling inside were the same ones. Bless God, every one of them had a basket, and they knew all that was coming out from that. It was a 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. That's all there was. And they were taking up 12 baskets, and it hadn't even been a week. It hadn't been a year. It hadn't been a month. It hadn't even been a day. And that's the reason they were fearful. It's because they considered not the miracles of the loaves.
Raise your hands right now, church.
Hey man, they might have brought the leftovers with them to have it a midnight snack. I don't know. But whatever it was, they considered not the miracle. Hey man, not only they saw it, but they participated in it. They were part of it. They enjoyed it. They ate it. They gathered up the fragments. They heard the teachings of Jesus. Hey man, but in less than 24 hours, they weren't looking back in the rearview mirror. Oh, let me preach to you now. Hey man, I wish I hadn't taken so much time to get to here. I told you this was going to be on a little more of a personal note. Hey man, so pull on with me here a little bit. Brother Billy, come down here and stand down here, if you will. I'm going to use you for an example. I didn't ask your permission. I'm just going to use a little pastoral authority here and use it anyway. Hey man, let me tell you something. Was it about April, late April or May, that one night this young man showed up and knelt down over here at the end of this altar? I've never really told this part of it. I'm going to go ahead and tell it now, all for the glory of God. You take my name out of it, you get me, amen, all the way, because I wasn't the only one. But I tell you what happened. Amen. God help me now. I know where to rejoice. Rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. I understand that's the greatest thing. But when he come down to pray and knelt at the end of that altar, and that groaning that was coming from way down, amen, those sounds he was making was not of God. It wasn't the Spirit of God that was working in him. And I recognized that it was a demonic spirit. Amen. I tell you what, about 2 minutes later, Brother Bill, I sort of wishing I hadn't have done what I done. But what I done to him, not to him, I said, devil, stop that growling and come out in the name of Jesus. And when I confronted that demonic spirit head on, immediately it rose up, it bowed up, it come up, amen. And for the next hour or two, I don't know, I lost track of time. We battled hell, we battled the devil, amen. We had to take the children out. I've never seen such things and such corruption. I'm not trying to embarrass you, brother. I hope we don't ever have to do it again. But I learned, amen, for sure. And I didn't mean that talking about you. I just don't look forward to battling those spirits. But I want to tell you something I learned. Those demonic spirits are subject to the name of Jesus. Don't go asking for them. Don't ask for a challenge. And don't confront them unless you know that you have the Spirit of God inside of you. But when you have the Spirit of God, we do not have to be afraid. Hallelujah. Amen. Big men, heavy men, strong men. I want to tell you something. This bird right here is a tough dude now. I'm telling you. He's a big boy. And there were several big men that was holding him down while those spirits wreathed and wrecked and tore at his body. Amen. But after about the second or third breakthrough, amen, and some of the brethren, you, I know you was one of them. And I don't want to start calling names. I've already made a mistake of doing that. But there was numbers. You know who you were, who you are, amen, that gathered around. And we began to cast those demons out. After about the third one, we'd ask if there was any more. And when we do, they would manifest again. And after about the third one, we just begin to speak to those in the name of Jesus. And they come out with much terror, all right? With much less travail. Amen. What are you talking about, church? I'm not trying to preach fear into your heart. I'm telling you, demonic spirits are loose in this land. I want to tell you something right now. It's the spirit of demons. It's the spirit of the devil that is making beautiful young girls mark themselves up all over their body with tattoos and piercings in their body that are ungodly. Amen. There's only one piercing that really counts, and that was Jesus Christ was pierced on the cross. Amen. And nobody else would ever need to pierce their skin. Amen. For any other reason. Can the Holiness Church say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Say, preacher, what I do? I'm not saved. I don't know. I'm probably preaching to people that has tattoos. I'm not telling you to go down and get them removed. I don't know if that's even possible or not. Amen. But I'm telling you, if you have one, the blood of Jesus is greater than that. Amen. What you've done ignorantly in sin, that's all under the blood. That's in the past. Amen. The sin has no more power over you. The devil has no power over you. Plead the blood over those things. But I want to preach to our young people right now. Amen. When you go to the mall and see those hideous things like you was telling me last night, just remember, you're the one that's beautiful. Ought to be folks all over this church saying, preach now. Amen. You're wonderfully and fearfully made. My wife showed me something just a couple of days ago, a new trend that's going on in Washington State. I've seen them with their earlobes all, you know, big as a half a dollar nearly. You know, where they stretch that skin out. But now they've started cutting a hole right here in their bottom lip. Big old hole right there. Show me pictures of it, exposing this bottom plate here in their teeth. And I'm telling you right now, there's no way you could take a drink of water or sit down and eat food without it coming out of that hole. I mean, I'm telling you, it's demonic. You hear me? It's not just something that young people will get over and get past. It is a demonic spirit. I mean, I don't know why I'm preaching like this here today. I'm talking about looking in the rear view. But oh, thank God. Hallelujah. After an hour and a half or 2 hours, amen, the next day my body was sore. My muscles were sore. Amen. Spiritual warfare is work. But let me tell you something. There's power in the name of Jesus. Amen. Don't shy away from it. I know we don't like to have to do it. And we don't want to. And I'm not asking anybody to do like the seven sons of Sceva and try to challenge a demonic spirit. No, no, no. Amen. But when they rise up against you, remember I told you, you have the power in the name of Jesus. That last one come out, he draped over that into that altar like a dead man. And I didn't know, I didn't know, but what he was dead. And I think there were some others that wondered the same thing. Amen. Praise God. He got up from that altar right now, that night, a different man. He struggled since then. There's been some setbacks. There's been some disappointments. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. And I know the blood of Jesus Christ is greater than anything, Billy. Hear me preach, man. Hear me. I'm trying to encourage you here this morning. There's victory in the name of Jesus. You are not today where you was then. Praise God. We're not where we want to be. Amen. But take a look, a quick look. Don't, just a quick look, brother, real quick. Just look in the rearview mirror. Amen. And then keep your eyes on this revival these next 2 weeks. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm wanting God to save my children in this meeting. I've got children that's lost and I'm believing. I'm praying for them. I heard others call their name this week in prayer. Amen. Some of you that wasn't here and wasn't able to be here. Amen. There's some of you I heard others calling your name, calling your children's names. Amen. God has heard the prayers of the saints and He is going. I'm going to go ahead and say it in faith. He is going to give us a revival. I know the enemy. You say, well, your enemy's going to fight. He's already fighting. Let's don't make any deals with him. Let's just keep the blood of Jesus. Amen. Take a look in the rear view of what God's done in this past year and move forward. Hallelujah. Praise God. Not 40 years ago, not 50 years ago, not 10 years ago, not 2 years ago. This year, between Thanksgiving and Christmas, Brother Glenn had a cancer on the side of his face. So you just thought it was. No, the doctors diagnosed it. If the doctors tell you you have cancer, amen, praise God. Are you hearing me preach, Brother Dickey? Amen. The doctors don't have the final word. Amen. It don't matter what they say. What matters is what God says. Amen. And what God wants to do. Hallelujah. Amen. Let God go ahead and get in your boat, brother. Amen. Let him ride with you a while. I know what the devil does. I know how he jumps up on your shoulder and says, yeah, it's going to be this, 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 this. And I'm sure it's the way it was. Amen. Even though he was having some other struggles, hear this cancer, and goes to the doctor, and the doctor says, yes, it's cancer. Amen. You had to get something done about it. One night in a service, while the preacher's preaching, the Spirit said to him, you need to get prayer now. And he come up and got prayer. Before that week was over, it was drying up. Why don't y'all just take some time and praise Him? In a week's time, it was gone. Where are those people that say, I wish God would move like He used to move? What are they looking at? Where are they going to church? What are they thinking about? What's going on here? We need to wake up and realize that God is doing the miraculous right here, right now. He'll do the same for you. Hasn't all been rosy. Thank God. I want to thank God. You know, we need to tell these things. Sometimes, you know, like Brother Billy's situation, it's the first time we've talked about it some, but the first time I've ever used it in a message openly. Because I don't in any way want God or anybody else to think I was taking credit. I'll tell you something. In my flesh, I was fearful. My flesh, you hear me? My flesh. My spirit was strong. And it's a good thing it was the spirit. Because I wouldn't have the nerve in my flesh to call it out. Oh, God. But I thank God that He moved. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yeah, but somebody's saying, yeah, but Brother Brad and Sister Elena, they didn't get their miracle. It didn't happen for them. They were in great services. Might have been that same service Brother Glenn got healed in. I know, during that time, they were prayed for. Man, oh, hallelujah. Come on, church, stay with me right now. It's all okay. There's going to be times, sister, you're going to drive by Green Hill Cemetery. And as much as you don't want to, there's going to be a tear that's going to slide down your cheek. Amen. But let me tell you something. When that tear's dried off your cheek, look forward in the windshield. Amen. And keep on driving. I'm not saying don't stop and visit the grave. But I'm telling you right now, I know people that have lost their ever-loving mind because they stopped at the cemetery. Amen. And all they could ever talk about the rest of their life. Amen. How many years ago, Brother Glenn, Sister Karen, y'all were in that same shape. And you took one of those babies to the cemetery. What life would your life have been if you would have lived the rest of your life?
Brother, I had a best friend that had the same thing happen the day after me. And she has lost her mind because she stopped right there. But I refused. I refused to let the devil win, and he blessed me with 5 healthy children.
Come on, church. Are y'all going to rally with me this morning? Are we going to have a breakthrough here? Oh, I'd have liked to have brought that miracle home for them just like all of us would have. We'd have loved to have it. We'd have loved to have seen it. But don't let the devil get in your boat because of that and try to drive the rest of your life in the rearview mirror. Oh, I wished I could preach.
Don't stop. Don't stop.
Oh, hallelujah. God, help us here today. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. That poor lady that the deans told me about years ago, Ronnie Sipes and them, I don't know who they are. I'm not making fun of them. I'm not making fun at all. Not at all. But you have to understand, I'm telling you a little story. And the backwoods people and the hill people do things different. Even when they become educated and very, very affluent, they're still from Oklahoma. Woo! And he's describing some woman. He said, I'm telling you. He said they'd been through trouble. They'd had heartache. And her children got away from God. Two or three of them had died lost. I think she had three children that maybe died in their teenage years. It was in the graveyard, brother. And the poor lady was going through a lot of things. Like a lot of us would if we had to go through something like that. Please, I mean, if you laugh in a minute, it's okay. Because, I mean, they wasn't downplaying the trial. It was horrible. But every place they would go, every service they would visit, every meeting they would go to, that was the sister's testimony. I'm just going through a trial. It's just so hard. I'm losing my mind. It's just, you know, how bad, how bad, how bad. Oh, God, please. I'm not, y'all understand, Holy Ghost, you understand, I'm not making fun. I'm not. I'm just telling you what they said. And they're different and they're funny people too. He said there was one old preacher that realized, and he's a backwoods preacher, not a lot of education, but he realized that the devil was working on her mind. Amen. That she was spending too much time looking in the rearview mirror. Amen. So she gave him one of those testimonies. And at the end of it, she said, if there's anybody here that can tell me what I need to do to get over this and get past it, I wish you'd tell me. And she sat down. No preacher got up. He said he walked up and down the aisle. Walked back to her two or three times. Amen. He said, sister, you told me you wanted me to tell you the truth. Now are you sure you want me to tell you the truth? Or you, when you said you want somebody to tell you what's wrong, what you need to do, yes, 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 tell me. Amen. I guess he's trying to get his courage. He said he'd pace around up here a while. Go back over and ask her again. And when he finally got his nerve, he said, sister, stay out of that graveyard. She was living the rest of her life in the graveyard. Praise God. I'm glad we have graveyards. I'm glad we have cemeteries. We are to honor them. We are to remember them. We are to respect them. But God said in His Word in Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through. Oh, I love it. Y'all, the Holy Ghost, the anointing is getting on y'all, isn't it? I know you went through some hard things in the past 3 or 4 years, Sister Wilma. You've been through enough to make any sane person lose their mind. Amen. But because you obeyed that scripture and you walk through, amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. About 19 years ago this week, Sister Judy, we had a funeral service. Amen. For that beautiful red-headed little girl. Amen. It's hard to believe it's been that long ago. Amen. But you know what Brother Robbie and Sister Judy done? They walked through. Amen. I didn't know I was going to spend so much time on here. But I don't want the devil discouraging those that didn't get their prayers answered and get them to give up. We have a new year starting. Amen. And we're moving forward. We're heading toward what God is going to do. Praise God. And by the grace of God, when that point that I dreaded so bad, and brother, oh, I mean, it was horrible. It was horrible. I mean, it was horrible. One of the most horrible things I've ever been through in my life. To have to try to go cover the family that you're close to and love. Amen. And I'm confessing my faults with him here. I didn't want to drive back to that house that night, Brother Robbie. I didn't want to see you. I didn't want to talk to you. I wanted to go home. I wanted to go to the church. I wanted to go somewhere by my. You know, and I had to. It was my job. I needed to. We did. I mean, I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to tell them. I didn't know. You know, I had little boys that was the same age, and it affected them. And Mama was at home sitting with them while they were crying. Amen. Really, their first encounter of dealing with somebody that they knew in their life that was gone. Oh, it was horrible. Hey, y'all get the picture? Hey, amen. That last final time that mother stood over that coffin, was fixing to lean over and kiss that beautiful little child for the very last time. I knew it would happen. I dreaded it so bad. I didn't want it. But what do? I mean, you can't stay there. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm preaching to you, Sister Laney. You can't stay there. You got to move on. And I don't think you are, but I know what the devil, how he works with people's minds. He'll try to pull you back. Say, God don't care about you. God don't hear you. God's never going to help you. That's a lie. I'm just about through preaching. Praise God. I know I'm thinking, and y'all are. If y'all want to just start throwing them at me, you can. Other things. But, I mean, God's done some great, great, great things. But here's what that mother done walking through. When she leaned over, kissed that beautiful baby and stood up. And we were fixing to close the casket. Finality. And I was close enough to hear her say. She said to her, goodbye for now. I don't mean to tear you up. Somebody should have, with me, jumped up and shouted hallelujah. Amen. Why can we do that? It's because we have hope of a better day. We have hope of a better resurrection. We have hope of a better life. Amen. Well, let's believe God. Are you going to believe? I don't know what your need is. God may be moving on somebody right here today. I'm asking you, let's carry on these prayer meetings. Let's get here at 6:30. Amen. 6 o'clock this evening. Amen. At 7 o'clock through the week. Let's keep the prayer meeting going. The prayer bell's going up. Up, amen, because God is still the same. Hallelujah. Y'all, I've got to share this. Amen. See, some of you wasn't saved. Even. Praise God. Doesn't it look good to see this family right here? This is a family that God give us this year. Oh, I pray God to heal you, sister, right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We're believing you, Lord, for healing. Show yourself strong in her behalf right now, Lord. Work things out for them, God. Give them a good job. Turn things around in their life. Amen. Are you believing with me, church? I just felt like doing that right there. Amen. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today. I got a bunch of witnesses. What I'm fixing to tell you is the truth. This happened not 40 years ago, not a year ago. This happened this year. I got that call like nobody likes to get. I'm preaching to you, Brother Dickey. Am I helping you here today? Praise God. Says, yeah, Sister Karen has cancer, and it's bad. It's not just isolated, not just one, in one place. She has cancer. It is cancer, and it's bad.
Come on.
No need to talk about it anymore. No need to go for more tests. You know, and I'm telling this pretty close. Well, let's have some more tests. Well, there's no need for more tests. We already know what you have. Schedule with a surgeon. We're already talking about treatment now. Amen. The diagnosis came in on a Monday or Tuesday. Which one? Was it a Monday? Amen. Tuesday we was praying. Tuesday the word gets out. Praying, folks all over the church is praying. Folks come to church on Wednesday night. Amen. I didn't, you know, I had a younger preacher scheduled to preach. And I can understand why he didn't want to. Part of their family was affecting them. I didn't feel like preaching. I didn't have a message. And I know when people's minds, I've done this for a while now. Y'all know this. And people's minds are scattered, and prayer is the most important thing. And I mean, God knows my heart. I know, y'all, we could go back on the CDs and get it. I was going to come. I was going to read one little scripture, make a couple of little comments for about 10 or 15 minutes. And y'all knew that couldn't happen anyway. That's all right. Praise God. But that's what I thought was going to happen. Woo! Hallelujah. One of my favorite scriptures. I didn't know if I'd ever preached from it before. I'd quote it, used it a lot during services. I don't even remember using it for a text. But God give it to me to share with that family. I was going to share it with them. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Yeah. You know, Brother Robbie read a scripture Friday night in the service. And I've used it. I've preached from it. It's been years ago. But I'm telling you that the Word of God, if we would start putting the emphasis on what it does instead of what the man of God does, we'd see a whole lot more of these miracles. But he read that scripture, I believe it's over there in Proverbs, where the Word was health. The Word of God was health to all your flesh. Amen. Now I'll tell you something. That's better than Amway. That's better than Saba. That's better than Melaleuca. Amen. Come on, church. Come on, come on, come on. Help me preach. I know brother, uncle so-and-so, somebody, he had this and he took this and he drank that for a week. And I'm not against, I mean, there's things, some of those things are good. I mean, I'm not against it. Woo, hallelujah. But the Word of God, amen. You don't have to try to get 10 people under you. You don't have to try to call a meeting and try to get something on. Hear me. I'm telling you, we do not, and the devil don't want us to know it. He wants us to think it's something for the past, for generations gone. Amen. He don't want you, and we're always looking for something new, that next new thing, that next potion, that next medical breakthrough. Amen. Get a hold of this, church. If you don't hear anything else I preach today, the Word of God. Let there be light. And there was light. Amen. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same as in the beginning with God. And all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, life. And life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. His Word. Yeah, they are spirit, and they are life. They're better than any health food you can eat. They're better than any penicillin. They're better than, and I'm not against going to doctors. I'm not. But the devil wants you to underestimate the value of the Word. And the Word of God is health to all your flesh. Amen. You get that, you read that. And then if somebody, your cousin so-and-so, somebody tells you something to try, then I tell people all the time, you take medication. You read the labels on that. Some of that stuff will kill you. Amen. Praise God. Some of that stuff might even have been your problem, Trevor. I don't know. I'm not telling you not to take your medicine. But I tell you what I want you to do, and I'm going to challenge you to do right now. Every time you take one of those pills the doctor told you to, you take it in the name of Jesus. Hear me, church? Take it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo! Holy, holy, holy. I preached that little scripture. I was just commenting on it. That's what it started out. Every good and ever perfect gift is from above. Cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I was trying to encourage the arm bristers. I was shooting it their way. I was preaching their direction. I was trying to encourage them. I was trying. April the 9th. Praise God.
The afternoon when he sent that to us, he said, the Lord just moved on me to send you something. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, of whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That was Tuesday afternoon at 3:07, and he followed it with this: for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I can't hardly see so much of it here. So that many boldly, that so may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. This is the scriptures God laid on my heart for you this morning. We are standing with you, family.
Preach a while, Pastor. Oh, it'd be easy.
Anybody else want to preach a while this morning? Church, we're at that place. I'm wanting you. I know you're wanting to hear me. You want to know what I'm going to say, but I'm wanting you to worship. Amen. I'm wanting to see some hands go up. I want to see some hallelujahs. Amen. Amen. God is faithful. It's not in what I've done. It's not in what I can do. I'm telling you, the Word of God is health to all your flesh. The Word of God will heal you. The Word of God will save you. The Word of God will direct you. Amen. And I believe the Word of God, let's don't depend on Brother James to preach us a revival. Let's pray through and get the Word of God on it and come back and have a move of God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm feeling the Lord in here this morning. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I'm telling you, the two miracles, amen, these two that I've talked to you today have dovetailed. It was the previous Wednesday night that God gave us the power over evil, unclean, demonic spirits. And we cast them out by the power of God and the name of Jesus. Amen. And I learned something. God showed me something in that. Amen. That I was praying for the sick. Amen. God might have done and let you go through that trial all for me, but he let me know I was doing it wrong. I was asking God to do it. I was putting it on other things, and I realized if I would have come down to this altar and laid my hands on Brother Billy like I had no telling how many times, and never confronted that spirit and never called it out, he probably would still be bound with those things today. There's some things you got to take authority over, and you got to speak to it, and you got to stand on the word of God, and then believe God to bring the miracle.
So I use what God showed me through casting out unclean spirits to pray for the sick. And I told y'all, I confessed in that message that I was going to start praying for the sick different, and I have. I've tried to do that. Praise God. You got to speak to that thing. Amen. You got to tell it to be gone. Amen. Praise God, Brother Dickey. In the name of Jesus, you get the word over that. I speak to those cancer cells in your body. Amen. Be removed in the name of Jesus. If there's any left after Friday night, there may not be. We've already been in a good service. Oh, God, we claim the victory. We speak to those things loose and come out from him. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, holy, 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 holy. Oh, come on, church. Woo! Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Don't wait on me to come around and lay hands on you. There's a lot of sick folks and there's a lot of needs. And I know there's some people in this congregation that need some spiritual healing. And you need to put some things in the past. And you need to forget about it. Amen. You can't change it. You can't do anything about it. You're going to have to turn it loose and let it go. And look forward to what God wants to do. If you're hung up in the past, you'll never have revival. Put it behind you. Amen. In that spiritual graveyard, like that hillbilly mountain preacher said, get out of that graveyard. Stay out of that graveyard. Don't go back and visit them. They've already moved on with their life. They're already doing something else. And let God do something for you.
right now. Oh, yes. Oh God, come move in this house. Oh God, we thank you for answered prayer. We thank you, Lord, for answered prayer. We thank you for revival, oh God. We thank you for what you're going to do in our ministry this year, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Pray, pray, praise the Lord. Pray, give me praise.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, Lord, I praise you, Lord. I praise you, I praise you, I praise you, I praise you. I thank you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. Go ahead, church. Don't stop.